The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com, on White Mountain Radio, on Twitter, at Brad Sesmatt, from our Skyview Satellite Studios. Busy show ahead. I'm all caught up in the Academy Awards, but I will be talking sports as we do day in and day out. It's busy sports day and night ahead of us here in the great state of Arizona. We're Arizona-centric. You can check out our website, sports360az.com, morning, noon, night. It's stuff that's a little different than all the other outlets and what they do. Go a little bit more in depth on the college, on the high school, and also the pros, too, around Arizona. Always looking for unique story ideas. You can shoot them over to us. Brad at sports360az.com if you've got a story idea out there that you want us to go chase and pursue. Senior Executive Vice President of Everything is Eric Sorensen. He usually has a Facebook question of the day. I'm more into the Academy Awards. Do you have one? Do you have anything today?
I have not won an Academy Award, no.
No. Do you have a Facebook question?
No.
You don't?
Nope.
If I were to just throw it out there, then the picture of the year today, the Academy Awards were announced this morning. All right. And tonight, there's not going to be an Oscar given to ASU for beating U of A down in Tucson. And I just don't see that happening.
There should be if that happens.
Well, if that were to happen, that would be the most outstanding performance of 2013 in the month of January.
You know, we were thinking, Brad, yesterday, since U of A is 17-0.
Yeah.
And the spread, I think, for the game is like 15.5.
Not that we're gamblers here or anything.
No, we don't check those things out. We were thinking about saying, you know, will ASU keep it within 17 points to match the 17 wins by U of A? But thought that might not go over so well with our friends at Arizona State.
But, you know, the ASU people have to punt on that. They just need to lighten up, okay? Because, you know, the last time I checked, we're pretty fair about this. Yesterday, and we're going to have Rocky Harris on here in a couple of minutes from ASU. Yesterday, I actually went to the stadium because they were starting to yank bleachers out, which is like a who cares story. But here's my thing. I'm kind of interested in when stadiums and facilities are built here in the Valley. I remember you and I did shows when Chase Field, back then, Bank One Ballpark, before it was even named Bank One Ballpark.
When it was a hole in the ground.
It was a hole in the ground. We went and sat in the hole in the ground. We actually, the night that they announced that the Diamondbacks were, that there was going to be a baseball team. They didn't even have a name yet. They announced there was going to be a baseball team. I remember doing a show down in the field where the stadium is now, and we took a can of spray paint, and we made a little diamond, and we brought some gloves, and we ended up playing a little game down there just to try it out, you know, just to have some fun. So, you know, that's what this is about for me. So I'm in this dump of a stadium yesterday, and that's what Sun Devil Stadium is. It's a dump. It needs to be renovated. And I hiked all the way to the top, and you know, we did our thing, and I'm into that sort of stuff. So ASU just needs to lighten up, all right? Here's what's on my mind in the world of sports, and it's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains, the Honda Resort and Casino where the Winter Games are now in February. Had to change the date. Why? You need snow. Gotta have snow. Lord, bring the snow for the Honda Resort and Casino in the Winter Games, the sled dog racing and the best dog, the mountain mutt, and the great barbecue, the great food, and all the fun that they're having. The Winter Games have been pushed back. They were supposed to be next weekend. All right. They've been pushed back now to the third weekend in February. We want snow to hit and hit hard so that they have the Winter Games. It's the Honda Resort and Casino. But of course, this weekend, you can watch the AFC, NFC title games. You can pull down on the slots. You can eat some great food, have some fun. Stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Get out of the valley. Or around Arizona as you take in our show, head up to the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Academy Awards are out, and yet I'm going to lead here with the Suns, and I'll get over to the awards in a bit. Bill Raftery is scheduled to join us from Fox Sports. He is in Tucson for tonight's ASU-U of A basketball game. Always like talking college basketball with Bill Raftery from Fox Sports 1. We're going to do some recruiting today. Jason Jewell from Scout.com, Southwest recruiting analyst. Of course, he's part of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. Letter of Intent Day in college football is just 3 weeks away. And in about 15 minutes, Clark Judge, all things NFL. Clark will be with us. The Suns last night, it was It was a nice win. I don't know if the Lakers were impacted. Magic Johnson completely ripped Jim Buss, the owner of the Lakers, to shreds yesterday, saying he needs to quit, essentially quit trying to be like his dad because he's not. The Lakers had Kobe Bryant sitting over on the bench last night. Kobe Bryant didn't look happy at all because his team was getting worked. The Suns put 121 up on the Lakers and win by 7. 22 wins now. Eric, before the season started, wasn't the over-under like 21.5?
I think it was right at 21, just depending on where you got it. But yeah, just over 20.
Yeah, and it was close. So here we are on January 16th. And if you had the over on the Suns and 21.5, you win. 22 wins now on the season. Channing Frye, or here's Jeff Hornacek first. Jeff Hornacek, head coach of the Suns, on controlling last night's game.
Well, yeah, it was kind of going back and forth the whole time. Nobody was stopping anybody. It was pretty easy for both teams to score. And, you know, we said it one of the timeouts, so you got it to 5. Now try to build it and try to get it up there and continue to push the pace. They didn't have a lot of subs because they have a lot of injuries. So, we got some good minutes from guys off the bench.
Plus, Nick Young got kicked out of the game for the Lakers, had a little bit of a scrum with Alex. It wasn't a fight. Come on. I want to see brawling. The other story in town that's going on is over at Arizona State. As mentioned, I went to the stadium yesterday. Rocky Harris joins us now for a couple of minutes. With Arizona State, what exactly is your title now? I know it's changed.
Who knows? Senior associate AD.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm the utility guy that kind of does all the dirty work and everything that needs to get done for us to keep improving here.
No, but you do much more than that. Let's be honest here, because you're actually going to be the guy out there with a jackhammer, right?
Yeah, whatever it takes. My wife won't even let me use the hammer at the house. So I don't know that the stadium or the folks here should allow me to have a jackhammer.
You're like me. I can't even change a light bulb. All right. So here's the thing. I'm getting a lot of questions. Even this morning, Eric came in and said, I wouldn't mind buying one of those seats. I had to inform him it's a metal bleacher. But I'm getting a lot of people asking about buying these bleachers. What is the plan from Arizona State as you're demoing the stadium? Can people buy these seats you're yanking out now?
Yeah, so we're working on exactly the exact plan right now, but the approach that we're going to take is reaching out to the season ticket holders who sit in those seats now, who sat in them last year, and allow them to purchase them first. And it would just be purchased at cost, whatever it costs us to cut them, shape them enough so they're not going to hurt them. And then after that, we're going to take everything else to an auction company, and they'll auction them off basically for metal. But also fans can buy them too, which will be an inexpensive way for fans to purchase them. So that's what we're looking at right now, and we'll roll out a plan probably in the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks here to let everyone know exactly what they can do. But we're holding them here in Sun Devil Stadium until we can implement that plan.
So can somebody buy an entire metal bleacher, the whole bleacher that they've been sitting in as a family? Can they buy that whole piece of metal?
Yes, they can.
Wow.
If they were season ticket holders, we're going to offer it up to them first. And then everyone else will be a part of an auction that they can. It'll probably be an online auction where they can purchase them there.
All right. So, how big a buzz have you felt in the last 24 hours, Rocky, from the donors? Because here's the thing: as I said off the top, I've been hearing about this for years and years and years. And I'm glad that this is happening, but you still have funds to raise. How is this going in terms of buzz early on after your announcement?
It was incredible. You know, after any announcement, regardless of what it is. There's some negativity and a lot of pushback. And on this one, it's been so limited. And I think the reason why is because when the original rendering was released, the one that looks like a spaceship on the moon, we got a ton of feedback from fans that they didn't like it. They wanted to be able to, have fireworks. That's what Sun Devil Stadium is all about. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look like Sun Devil Stadium. So what we did is we had focus groups, tons of surveys, reached out to a lot of our bigger donors individually, and what we found was our fan base overall wanted a stadium that reflected what Sun Devil Stadium was, but also a new age Sun Devil Stadium, Sun Devil Stadium 2.0, where it's upgraded, it looks new age, it looks nice, but it still has the same look and feel as the Sun Devil Stadium that we've all grown to love. And so we took all their feedback. We had probably 30 different renderings along the way. And we came to a place we felt comfortable with because our fans gave us enough feedback that we made all the changes that the majority of our fans wanted. And we really took all their feedback, and that's where we came up with the scope of the project. Is what are their needs? What do they need most? And then we worked it out that way. And also we talked to our student athletes as well and got some feedback on what their needs are. And that's what we, the plan that we've come up with. We're confident in the plan. We think we have a track that we can follow. And, you know, our goal is to raise $50 million from our fan base and from our donors and from our community. And, you know, so far we've had a ton of positive feedback. We've had a lot of great meetings, even the 2 days or the day, I guess it's been. I had about 8 meetings yesterday with donors and others. And I think that we're going to see a lot of success, but it's going to take everyone. I mean, we have larger donors, multi-million dollar donors, but I'm even asking my friends and family to, you know, if you can donate $20, $50, $100, it's all going to go to the same place and help us build this into what it should be.
No, that's right. That's right. Senior Associate Athletic Director Rocky Harris. Before I let you go, so I've been also asked the other prevalent question, why no roof or shade structure? Because that had been talked about initially. That's one of the big things I've been asked about.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, what our fans and the community needs to know is that we're completely privately financing this. We're not getting any government assistance at all. So we're the Arizona Cardinals, which I work in pro sports, love them. But they got $300 million from the government, from you, from the taxpayer. We don't get anything. So we'd have a different approach with what we're trying to do here, which is spending our money in the best way possible. And when we looked at the canopy, it was about $130 million to add it. And when we look at, you know, our revenue last year as a department, entire department was $65 million. So it's 2 years of our entire revenue of everything we have going to the shade structure. And the more we talked to our fans, the more we interviewed them, the more we got their feedback, the less important it became over time. And then when we showed them the numbers, everybody said, absolutely not, it's not worth it. Now, what we are doing is we're building the infrastructure to be able to add something later, a canopy or a roof, if we decide to do so. But at this time, it just didn't seem like it was the best approach based on us having that we'd have to fundraise $180 million. And that's a much bigger number, obviously, than $50 million.
Sure.
So, you know, if our community gets behind it and we can reach unprecedented numbers, we could add a roof. But what we found from the majority of our fans is they cared more about fireworks, legroom, restroom, better restrooms, more restrooms, better food, more places to get food, easier ways in and out of the stadium, escalators, elevators. So we really took their feedback. Shade was in there, number 8 in the list of importance. But it wasn't $132 million important, at least not at this point.
Sounds good, Rocky. I appreciate the update. Thanks, as always.
Okay, thanks a lot. Let me know if you ever need me on again or to update the fans or the community, and I'll be willing to do it anytime.
You got it. Thanks, Rocky. Rocky Harris there with us for a couple of minutes. So there's a lot there to consume on the stadium at Sun Devil. But yesterday, as I walked up to the top and looked back, I'm walking through the concourse, there's cement that's kind of stained. It's been, the bleachers aren't quite right. Things look just grimy, and it's time. Have you heard about Friday Night Tykes? Probably the most disturbing reality show, and it's about 8 and 9 year olds doing Pop Warner football in Texas. Oh yeah, yeah. And it debuted earlier this week. We'll have that. On the other side, all things NFL with Clark Judge, Bill Raftery later, and Jason Jewell as well. I'm Brad Sussmat. Good Thursday. White Mountain Radio on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Let's talk NFL for a couple of minutes. All things NFL, Clark Judge, 30 years plus, covering the National Football League as we come into what I think is better games than the Super Bowl usually. And right off the top, the Patriots are leaving on Friday. Their itineraries come out. It's a change from what they've done all season long. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I mean, Brad, you've been in Denver before. I think you have to get acclimated to that environment. It takes me a couple days always when I go there. I'm always struck by how fatigued I get early into exercise and how dry the air is. So, yeah, I think it does make sense.
The Tom Brady, Peyton Manning stuff all week, what have you heard, read, and heard it and consumed it and said, no, this is what needs to be said about Brady versus Manning, or has everything been said and written?
Yeah, I think pretty much everything's been said and written and dissected. I mean, the only thing I really am curious about is, you know, why Brady missed practice yesterday. I know he's sick, but, I mean, how severely is he sick, if he's not severely sick? I mean, what is it? What's he got? Does he have the flu? What is it? I know that that's not going to play out by this weekend. Still, I just want to know what he's got there, because in the week before, I mean, Wednesday is the day when the game plan is executed. So I just am curious about that. Otherwise, you know, everything's been recited over and over, Brad. There really are no secrets in today's all-information world. So I think we know pretty much everything about these guys. I do want to know, however, how Manning holds up if and when he's pressured, and if the Patriots can bring that pressure, because remember last week, I mean, San Diego barely breathed on the guy.
It's to the point where we're analyzing why Peyton Manning says Omaha, and that his foundation benefits from it, and that he had a corporate sponsor actually approach him about it.
Yeah, I mean, is that unusual?
Just silly stuff.
Yeah, I'm not that intrigued by it. Other than, you know, I know it's said a lot, and I know what goes on inside locker rooms and code words they have. Clearly, that's a code word. I heard him try to explain it yesterday. It didn't make a lot of sense. It's just simply something that they do. They know what happens when he calls that out, and it's something that is just very comfortable for him and the rest of the team, and no one's divulging any secrets, nor would I expect them to, but it's something that simply works within their game plan.
All things NFL with Clark Judge. Do you enjoy watching more one than the other between Brady
and
Manning?
Yeah, I do. I more enjoy watching Tom Brady. And I can't tell you why, other than I think he does more with less. I mean, people tell me, you know, Manning's this and Manning's that. And honestly, I've sort of gotten fatigued by the Manning overkill. He had a phenomenal year, tremendous year, great year. But, you know, I don't think people pay enough attention to the other guy. And the other guy has been to five Super Bowls. He's won three of them. He's 18-7 in the playoffs. Manning's 10-11. He's 10-4 against Manning. We know all that stuff. So he doesn't get a lot of attention, yet I hear people say, well, no, he was playing actually with a better defense earlier in his career. Actually, you know, he wasn't. I looked at the stats, and he wasn't. And Bob Sanders was a defensive player of the year with Indianapolis. Robert Mathis could be this year. Dwight Freeney was a potential Hall of Fame candidate. And it intrigues me because, as I said, he doesn't have the receivers that Manning does, and yet he does have the success. In fact, he has more success. And I look at this year, without his five top receivers from last year, including Gronk, these guys are still moving forward, and they've done something very interesting, Brad, which is they've moved the team sort of away from Tom Brady and towards the running back, figuring, hey, listen, we don't have a deep threat. We don't have a red zone threat. Why don't we try to beat him with our running game? And it's worked, very well in the last three games.
Do you think, though, that this week we could see a difference in that they do try to throw the ball more because Denver is not as good in the secondary?
Plus, they lost Chris Harris. I mean, maybe, but why would you change up what's working? And also, Brad, think about what San Diego wanted to do when it went in there. They wanted to run the ball. Why? Because it worked so effectively the first two times, particularly the last time when it was in Denver last month. And that was with Ryan Matthews, ran for over 100 yards. They controlled the ball. They controlled the clock. That's how you keep Peyton Manning off the field, and you make him impatient. And I think New England will try to do the same thing here simply because it's working, and it's working very well. Yeah, when Brady needs to throw, he's got some people to pick on and a secondary to dissect. But right now, the running game, I think, can work to their advantage. Honestly, I woke up on Monday, and I thought they didn't have a chance. By Monday afternoon, I thought, you know what? I think they may win this game simply because I think LeGarrette Blount is the kind of guy that wears people out and down so much that by the second half, and particularly the fourth quarter, he goes, I don't want any more of this. I don't want to tackle this guy. And I think you saw that with LeRon Landry when he really didn't get in front of me, dove at his feet, and Blount went. But I think they could beat him, not so much with Brady, but with a running game.
Last point on this game and the Manning-Brady thing. I think part of it, and you and I may have talked about it, may not have, but I brought it up on the show before. Manning has done a very good strategic job of trying to make himself relatable to Joe Fan, where Tom Brady has not,
right,
in the way of marketing and those types of things. Would you agree on that?
Absolutely. In fact, I was asking someone, why is Manning the people's choice? And I think that's the reason. You know, he's driving a Buick. Hey, you know, he's not driving an Escalade. He's driving a Buick down the road. He's selling pizza. He's a great pitch man. He seems to be everywhere. And Drew Brees has kind of become somewhat like that now because he seems to be everywhere, where Brady's nowhere. Yeah. I mean, Brady's off in L.A. in this enormous mansion with one of the most beautiful women in the world, the highest paid model. He's a great looking guy. He seems to have everything going for him. And I think that's kind of, we look at Brady and say, you know, he doesn't need any more accolades. Look at Peyton Manning. He's a man of the people. And I do think there's a lot to that.
Other game than Clark Judge, all things NFL. Russell Wilson hasn't played great here recently. Would we agree on that?
Yeah, we would. And it's funny to hear you say that other game because these are two great games.
But yeah, no, you're right.
I agree with you on that. And you would know better than anyone because you saw the Arizona performance of Russell Wilson. He didn't do anything, and Carson Palmer throws four interceptions. Arizona wins that ball game. Yet he's been on a downward spiral for about the last month or so because, again, and it's not as simple as this, but I know you and I talked about this very early in the season. I said to you, geez, if teams could just figure out a way to contain him, in other words, rush the defensive ends upfield instead of trying to attack the pocket, I think you have a lot of success with this guy because if you keep him in the pocket, he's less dangerous than when he's outside. His comfort zone is throwing on the run and escaping. And that's what's happened the last month. You looked at last week, New Orleans really bottled him up, and he wasn't able to make plays. And he's not been the most effective passer. And honestly, it's Marshawn Lynch and Marshawn Lynch the last few weeks. So if they stop, meaning San Francisco, if they can stop Marshawn Lynch, and they haven't had a lot of success against him, they got a great shot here.
Other side of the ball, what was wrong with Colin Kaepernick back in September and October? What's going on with Colin Kaepernick? He's not very good. I see him now escalating his play.
Yeah, it's because we just latch on to the last effort and the last performance. Listen, he's been the same guy pretty much the entire season, but you have ups and downs. I mean, when I covered San Francisco's last Super Bowl winning season, 1994, Steve Young was benched in the fifth game against Philadelphia. They got torched. People, what's wrong with Steve Young? Well, I mean, you have games like that. You have games where you stink. And that happened with Colin Kaepernick. And now you look at he's getting in a groove. These guys are moving much better. I think he's more comfortable. Yeah, they've taken some of the read option away from him. But he's also gotten Michael Crabtree back. I mean, that's part of the difference. You get Michael Crabtree back, and I didn't think he would be as good or as effective as he has been, Brad. But he has been. And that's an X factor for him because the last time they played these guys up there, they didn't have him and they got torched. Difference now. Now, I know they had him last year when they went up there. They got torched too. But that was after they had been to New England and beaten the Patriots in a very critical game up there. I thought there was sort of an emotional letdown. But this time there won't be. This time he's got all his weapons, and I think that has made a difference for him.
Stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Clark Judge with us. All things NFL around the National Football League as we get down to the AFC and NFC Championship weekends. On the other side, we go to Tucson. Bill Raftery, the great Bill Raftery, the Onions! Bill Raftery, Fox Sports 1, the Kiss! He and Gus Johnson are doing tonight Arizona State at U of A, number one ranked Cats. How good are the Cats compared to, let's say, Syracuse? Syracuse has a big battle with Pitt this weekend. We'll talk a lot of college basketball next with Bill Raftery, Fox Sports 1, one of the best in the business. I'm Brad Sussmat, White Mountain Radio, on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, and of course right here, Sports 360 AZ, where ArizonaArizonaCentric.com.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at Sports360AZ.com.
From a playing standpoint, they're very unselfish. They all have their different strengths, and that we build the program around. And you don't hear a lot of eyes, me's, and my's. They're always talking about the team, and Coach Miller does a great job of keeping them focused on that.
That was Greg Byrne, athletic director for U of A. He joined me yesterday on the program. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ. Of course, tonight the big story in our state: number one ranked Arizona tries to keep it going. The Territorial Cup rivalry renewed against Arizona State. Sun Devils need to come off the mat. Jahi Carson needs to come off the mat, I think, a little bit. We'll see about Jermaine Marshall if he's able to play. Bill Raftery, the great Bill Raftery, Fox Sports 1 in Tucson. He and Gus Johnson will have tonight's game. You can actually see it. You can actually watch it because it's not Pac-12 Network. No offense to our Pac-12 Network friends, but only three people in our state, I think, have it. Fox Sports 1, here's Bill Raftery. Bill, do you think U of A, if they played Syracuse today, would they still be 17-0, or would they be 17-1?
Where are you playing the game?
Let's say Tucson.
Tucson. I think they do very well, home or away. Interesting. They shoot it. Again, everybody's talking about they're not a great deep shooting team, but they haven't had to be. McConnell the other night stepped up against USC when they needed it. But against Syracuse, it's not so much the three-point shooting because they extend the zone. It's the mid-range game and the rebounding. And I think that's where Arizona is pretty special. So I think that would stand them in good stead. So plus, they score a lot of points, and occasionally Syracuse does struggle on the offensive end.
As you've seen college basketball unfold, and here we are in the middle of January, is U of A head and shoulders above everybody else, or are they just a team that's undefeated at this point in the season? I see Ohio State and Aaron Kraft, and they've got a tough one with Minnesota and, of course, Syracuse. I don't know if I've got a team out here that's going to finish the season undefeated. I don't think I do.
Well, I said to Sean yesterday that, you know, I haven't seen everybody live, but I've seen everybody. And I think right now they are the best team. Now, that sounds self-serving because we're here and we're broadcasting it. But just as an observer, I think they have so many people that compliment one another. You know, I heard the unselfish remark earlier, and that's basically what they're all about. I think just whatever it does, whatever it takes to win, and you get a feeling of great harmony with this team as well, watching practice yesterday. So, you know, I think they're the real deal. And you know, again, it's not March, but they look awfully good at this point in the year and maybe looking the best of all of them.
Bill Raftery, Fox Sports 1. Tonight they will have the broadcast. Gus Johnson, Bill Raftery from Tucson, ASU against top-ranked U of A with Brad Sismat for a couple of minutes. Can you separate where McConnell stacks up with the Crafts and the Smarts and even Jahi Carson? McConnell, to me, Bill, has made such a difference this year for this U of A program.
Well, McConnell, you know, he orchestrates things. Carson does also, but he has to score, Carson. You know, it's very important in the early offense that they get him some ball screens and get him turning in the lane and him back shooting the ball from deep. You know, he's been very good early in the year. He racked up a lot of points, particularly Vegas jumps out, that 40-point burst. But McConnell's job is to just get everybody involved, and then if it's necessary, to be more offensive-minded. But, you know, his object is to get everybody in the right spot, push the ball, guard his guy, you know, just be the catalyst in stimulating the offense. And that's something that he's exceptional. I'm sure you've heard this. He reminds me a lot of Sean when he played.
Mm.
And you can see that little synergy between the two of them, same wavelength, you know, same mentality, win, and doesn't matter who gets the praise, just do the right job and do it consistently. And that's what he brings every night, this kid. He's a pleasure to watch. He's a throwback kind of a kid.
How about over on Arizona State's side with Jahi Carson? What are you seeing out of Jahi at this point of the season?
You know, this kid, we had him earlier in the year. You know, I think he's really improved his game. His threes are much better. I think his handle, you know, he uses the left terrific, whereas he may not have gone to that. His blow-by ability, you know, he's got the floater in the lane. So he really knows how to capitalize on situations and angles and the different speeds he can go at and the quickness at which he does it and make him a real tough guy to keep in front. And with the new rules, you know, I would anticipate he gets some free throw opportunities, particularly tonight.
You know, with him so far in Pac-12 play, he's been up and down, and it seems like last week out in Los Angeles, teams were going right at him, and he was in foul trouble early on. I'm just curious, Bill, Jahi announced earlier that he is going to leave at the end of this year. Is he ready for the NBA? Was that the right move, or should he have waited to see how this season progressed from your standpoint?
Well, you know, it's an individual and family decision, so for me to comment, in terms of ability, there are some guys in the league that I'm sure he could play with. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, it's a decision that he feels he's ready. He will be drafted. I mean, his speed alone is something that jumps out at you. And talking to the scouts, not in terms of where he'll fit, but his ability. And some kids just feel, look, if I'm a sub, and I can learn the game behind so-and-so.
Sure.
That to me is enough. So I think it's just a mental commitment on his part, and you got to respect it because it's nothing that we can do to suggest otherwise or force him into a situation that he's uncomfortable with. And I think he just may have felt, I just don't want to answer that question all year long, which to some kids it rattles them, bothers them, and confuses them a little bit.
When Aaron Gordon first announced that he was coming to Arizona, A lot of fans were excited. He's come in, and it seems like he's been a perfect fit. What have you seen out of Aaron Gordon so far this season for the Cats?
Well, I watched all the All-Star games, you know, during the spring and summer, whether it was tape or live. And, you know, everybody talks about the motor. I just can't believe the activity this kid. He's fundamentally so sound. just watching him yesterday, his connection with the coaching staff and with his team, whatever I can do to make us better, or whatever I can do to contribute to winning, his jump shot has really improved, I think. Great rotation. They've worked hard on it. But his energy at the glass and defensively, how he can guard so many spots, and running the floor. I mean, he is a big-time guy getting up and down the floor. And what jumps out at me for his size is his handle. Mm. He's got great ability with the basketball. You can see he just loves the game and works at it. So he's a pleasure to watch. I mean, this is a special kid that, we're going to be watching him for a long time.
Before I let you go, what do you make out of the Pac-12 from a distance? We're sitting here in the middle of January. What do you make out of it so far this season?
Well, I hated to see that injury to Dinwiddie. I was up there when Colorado beat Oregon. I think the league's a lot deeper. Amazed year in and year out at Mike Montgomery, what he's been able to do.
Yes.
I think they're going to get, what's the number? Quite a few teams into the NCAA this year that certainly deserve it. It's what Arizona can do. Arizona State's got a chance playing a lot of these teams twice. I think that's a big deal for them, that they're going to get an opportunity that other people haven't had because of, they're going to play Colorado and Arizona tonight, obviously, and Oregon and Cal. So they're going to get chances. So it's deeper and better. And, Washington sort of stumbled last night. They were an impressive team. You saw them down here last week. So I don't know. It depends who knocks off. Anybody gets a shot at Arizona, so it'll be an able to win. It's certainly going to help them when it comes to that selection Sunday.
Yeah,
it's deeper and better, and you better be ready and protect home court. I think that's the big thing in this league.
Appreciate the time, Bill. Have a good broadcast tonight. Thank you much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Brad. Take care. Have a good day.
You as well. Bill Raftery with us. Fox Sports 1. He'll have the broadcast tonight along with Gus Johnson. Appreciate his time. I'm not expecting much of a game tonight. If it's within 17, Eric, you're on the 17-0 U of A run for their record. If ASU keeps it within 17.
Yeah, it's just what we kind of kicked around. I mean, the spread, I think, is like 14.5. So Vegas doesn't see much different than we do. But, we don't follow this stuff in Vegas. I just heard from a friend who heard
right.
from a friend. So.
Right. Have you, I know today the Oscars came out. In a couple of minutes, Jason Jewell's going to be with us on National Letter of Intent Day, 3 weeks away. But the Oscars came out today, and tomorrow we'll have Goody at the Movies, and we'll get into all the best pictures and all that stuff. Have you heard about this show, Friday Night Tykes, E?
I just heard about it, yeah. I was alerted to it. It sounds pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's on the Esquire Network. Not that I have the Esquire Network. Is that like, that sounds like the Esquire Network is right next to the Pac-12 Network, that nobody has it here in Arizona. It doesn't matter how hard you try. But the whole concept of Friday Night Tykes, it started on Tuesday night. It takes us into the wild world of Texas youth football in San Antonio. So we figured, we need to pay attention to this a little bit. Here is Fred Davis. He's the head coach of the Outlaws. These kids are 8 and 9 years old. This reality show is around 8 and 9 year old kids playing football. Here's the head coach of the Outlaws.
The slogan that we have is, it's hard to play against us, but it's even harder to play for us. And we believe that to the core. If these guys can get through an Outlaw practice, believe you me, they can get through anything.
Yeah. So they're puking, right? I mean, we've got them. You've got to run up this hill. You're 8. If you can get through this, when you get older and your marriage goes south and your house is repossessed and you don't have 2 nickels to rub together, you're going to remember being an outlaw when you were 8 years old.
Yeah, I watched the trailer for this, and it really is as ridiculous as it sounds when you watch the trailer. So.
Here is Tony Coley. Tony is the Outlaws' assistant coach. He is not out there to make friends.
The Outlaws, we're different. We have a bad rep as far as being rowdy. And we talk a little smack and we back it up. My philosophy is I like to be aggressive. I don't like to give teams an opportunity to think that they're in a game with us.
Yeah. So 8, 9 years. Now, what we
only
don't...
in Texas too, Brad.
No,
only in Texas.
No, it's everywhere. Look. You can go to a football field here in Arizona because I get the ridiculous emails. When I was doing the TV thing during Pop Warner season, I'd come in on Monday and I'd get the outraged parent that their kid didn't play. And the, like the first one or two of these, I was dumb enough to think, well, you know what? I'm just going to call the coach and maybe there's a story here. Da, da, da. No, they were all like these guys. They would say it in different ways. Oh, Brad, man, you know, I've watched you forever. You're the greatest. And we got nothing going on here. And then you'd start getting second letter, third letter, fourth letter. And I would never go chase and do TV stuff around it. It was silly. But how many of these guys are actors, too? Okay. It's a reality show. How many of these guys have been like on, I don't know, the guy that got kicked off The Bachelorette is now on The Bachelor. That's your show, Eric. So who knows on these guys? But I think I am going to have to try to find the Esquire Network to watch Friday Night Tykes somewhere. Jason Jewell joins us next from Scout.com. How is recruiting and football going for Arizona State and the U of A? National Letter of Intent Day is 3 weeks away. Our first big look at the big board next with Jason Jewell. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com on White Mountain Radio. Of course, we're on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, and our website, sports360az.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric, all things going on in Arizona that we see a little bit different, like this. Jason Jewell joins us now. Jason has been part of the Sports360AZ contributing team since day number one, 2.5 years ago. He is with scout.com. He handles recruiting on the West Coast with Scout and is one of their contributors as well. How are you?
I'm doing great, Brad. How are you?
I'm fired up, Jason. I'm pump site geeked because we are now, what, 3 weeks away from National Letter of Intent Day. Is this a good year for the 2014 recruiting class?
Not only good, but great, and possibly the best that the state of Arizona has ever seen.
Why?
Because the talent is so deep. When Scout, we just released our top 300 prospects the other day. And when you look at it, we had five players in the top 100 in the nation, and we had seven players finish in the top 300 in the nation. That's never been done in Arizona.
And all of them are committed, or are some still sitting on the fence?
Well, of those top guys, the only one that's uncommitted is Casey Tucker, the offensive tackle out of Hamilton, and he's down to... He tells me ASU, Stanford were his finalists, but he told me the other day that Alabama and Texas A&M are making a push at him.
Okay, and so what I'm hearing on Casey Tucker is, if he gets his test scores for Stanford, he's going to Stanford. Are you hearing the same thing?
Well, no, because he was actually given the news that he was accepted last weekend on his official visit there. So
he's in?
He has been accepted to Stanford, what I've been told.
So I have old news, is what you're telling me.
Well, I just found out on Sunday myself.
I should just turn it over to you. I shouldn't try to pretend like I have any knowledge on this stuff. That's fine. It's fine. The other six, who are the other six for those that are just coming into this year's recruiting class? Casey Tucker is one of the seven. Who are the other six and where are they going?
Yeah, so the top guy is Kyle Allen from Desert Mountain, quarterback. He's actually finished number seven player in the entire nation going to Texas A&M. Jaylen Brown, wide receiver out of Mountain Point, going to Oregon. He was the number 49 player in the nation. Mark Andrews, Allen's buddy over there at Desert Mountain, going to Oklahoma. Big wide receiver, tight end. He finished 61. In the country, Cam Denson from South Point, finished number 71. He's headed to U of A, going to stay local. And Tyler Wiley from Chaparral, finished number 114 in the country. He's headed to Arizona State. And then Quaylen Cunningham from Hamilton, finished number 245 in the country, headed to Texas A&M as well.
Do you expect any of these kids to go away and then come back? Because here's the thing. We don't know. I'm just bringing this up as every year kids leave this state in droves. And it seems like every year one or two of them figure out, hey, I probably should have stayed in Arizona.
I want to say no, but it's just happened so much, you know, in the recent past where you look at guys like Christian Westman's gone to Auburn and come back to Arizona State. Devontae Neal goes to Notre Dame, comes back to the U of A. Connor Brewer goes to Texas, comes back to the U of A. So there's been several kids that have left and come back. So like I said, I want to say no because I like kids to, you know, stick it out and get away from home and experience something a little bit difference, not always a bad thing, but you know, the best predictor of the future is the past, and several kids have done that and moved forward and come back to the, you know, Grand Canyon State.
Jason Jewell joins us for a couple of minutes. Scout.com, Jason Jewell, part of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com, a high school platform very big on what we do, especially on the recruiting front. National Letter of Intent Day, just about 3 weeks away. I'm curious what you're hearing with Rich Rod and Todd Graham. Now they've been here a couple of years. They've both talked, in particular Todd Graham, about closing the borders. But what are you hearing from the high school football coaches in state about U of A and ASU and getting those kids to go to those schools?
I have heard nothing negative from a single high school coach since Graham or Rich Rod have taken over. I think everyone I've talked to has said that they're doing a great job. They're doing they're being diligent about going and recruiting the kids in state, and both of the staffs are doing a good job. Have several commitments so far. We'll see if they all end up, you know, signing with those schools on signing day, though.
Arizona State, what are they doing locally? Just bring us up to speed, big picture, locally in this year's class that they'll announce in 3 weeks.
They only actually have two kids committed from the state of Arizona. One, you know, we mentioned Tyler Wiley from Chaparral, and the other one is Quinn Bailey, the tackle out of Higley. But they're in the picture on several other big-time kids. Well, we've already mentioned Casey Tucker being down, Arizona State being one of his finalists, and Ishmael Murphy Richardson from Desert Edge has he's visiting ASU this weekend. So getting, you know, two of those guys would be huge for ASU. Where U of A, they have more kids. The numbers are bigger there at U of A. They have eight local players committed, three of those kids being junior college guys, but you know, they have five prepsters already committed. The two biggest being down in the Tucson area, Kalen Naboski from South Point and his teammate Cameron Denson from South Point, both wide receivers, both committed to U of A.
And I've heard Santana Sterling from Hamilton's going to grayshirt at ASU. So does he count in this class?
Well, he won't. No, he will not sign with this class. So he's not listed in our scout.com database as a signee. So what he will end up doing is he will sign next January, not this February, sure. about a year from now.
Who is left outside of Tucker, not just for in-state, but is really getting a push here nationally?
As far as the local guys getting a push?
Yeah, anybody left?
Yeah, so you look at a player like Andrew Mike down in Tucson at Sabino High. You know, he was most recently offered by Florida, and you don't see the Gators coming in recruiting in Arizona, you know, very often. He's going to trip out there. He was also, you know, Vanderbilt's one of his finalists until Franklin left, so we'll see where that kind of shakes out. U of A's in the picture as well as Washington.
2015, Christian Kirk's name has been out there on the radar for everybody the last couple of years. Where is Christian Kirk's recruitment at?
Oh, it's all over the map. He has 26 big-time scholarship offers already. He has not even come close to narrowing down a finalist, but most recent offers being Michigan and Florida, but he has offers from everywhere. You know, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Tennessee, everybody in the Pac-12, you name it, he has an offer from them.
Anything else you want to add about this class? A player that you think is going to come out of this class, it's kind of below the radar, that's not getting that much attention, that you feel like, you know what, Brad, in a couple of years, watch this kid. Because I think that happens, Jason, every year where we see the top kids and some of them just fizz out. And then there's that second tier guy that takes off that nobody really expected. Do you have a guy or two like that this year?
Yeah, there's a couple guys that I really ended up liking this year. One of them is Cameron Bennett, was overshadowed a little bit by his teammate Leith Freck at Centennial. Now Cameron's committed to Cal, it's a, you know, big time school, but we just finished our rankings and bumped him up from 2 stars to 3 stars. He's a road grader, workhorse type of kid. A kid I really enjoy talking to, great person. But a kid that right now is completely off the map, being under recruited, is Elijah Marks at Desert Edge, wide receiver. He broke the state's record for a single season with over 1,900 receiving yards. His only offer right now being from Northern Arizona.
I'll let you go off that. Talk to you next week as we work our way towards signing day. Appreciate the time and content as always.
Always great, Brad. Thank you.
You got it. Jason Jewell there, scout.com. Eric, you were out this year at games on Friday nights. I was out on Friday nights. I was going to my daughter's high school and at Abasha, and then I'd go over and watch Hamilton. I'd see Chandler. I'd see the Bermuda Triangle, as I call it out there, because everybody's trying to get everybody's kid to go to their school. That's just how it is in this open enrollment day. Was there a kid that you looked at this year? Because you're close with the Kyle Allen people and that family.
No, just as Jason mentioned, the player who I can't believe has another year of high school left is Christian Kirk. I mean, he's been playing varsity for what seems like an eternity. And this year, especially in the playoffs, he was absolutely, without question, uncoverable. And he and Luke Rebenzer put up some big numbers, and Saguaro rolled on to a state championship. So I'll be curious to see what he does next year, because Rebenzer's on his way to Cal, reportedly. He committed. So they'll be breaking in a new quarterback, but knowing Saguaro, I'm sure they'll pick up right where Rebenzer left off.
I've been out watching a lot of the basketball this year, and I'm seeing more underclassmen on the basketball end. On the football end, I don't see as many, but I'm not out there at every deal like a lot of you guys, like Jason in particular is. Sports360AZ.com, that is where our content is. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T on Twitter. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So when I talk about Santan Ford, I don't have some bullet point thing in front of me. I don't have a whole bunch of, hey, say this about us. Hey, say that about us. Look, this is where I go when I need to get my vehicles taken care of. I'm driving a 2014 Ford Fusion right now. The Fusion makes a lot of sense for me and everything that I do in my busy travels. This morning, the 101 was an absolute disaster. It's an absolute disaster every day. But when I'm in the Fusion, I'm able to, on my Bluetooth, listen to some podcasts, or I'm able on satellite to listen to some stuff. I'm able to listen to music as I want. My point is, and get phone calls done and business done. By the time I rolled in here with Eric, we're ready to go, man. We're ready to do our thing. How about you? Are you in a vehicle that you have that much comfort and you feel like you can get your business done? I'm a busy guy from here. I'm off to meetings downtown, and then I'm going to be a soccer dad tonight on the run. The Fusion makes a lot of sense for me. What about you and the vehicle you're driving? Santan Ford, I've driven the F-150 trucks before. Great truck. Stop on in General Manager Tim Hovick and his staff out there. They'll set you up right. That's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. This weekend, I'm not rooting for San Francisco and Seattle. I don't really have a rooting interest in that game. On the other side, I want to see Tom Brady win, because Peyton Manning, everybody's on this Peyton Manning, the man of the people deal. He's gone out this year and strategically, actually over the last couple of years, I've kind of gotten fatigued with Peyton Manning, I have to tell you. It's not that I don't like watching him play football. It's the, I don't need to see him in his Buick. I don't need to see the Papa John's deal. And I get the whole business side of it. There's a business side and they're making the jack on it, but there's almost like too much Peyton Manning. When I'm reading or seeing stories, I don't even read them. When I see headlines about why does Peyton Manning use Omaha when he's at the line of scrimmage? Why does he use Omaha? I don't care.
And he's been doing it, Brad, for years. I don't know
don't
why
care.
It's such a big deal.
Don't
it,
care.
It means opposite. That's all Omaha means. It's a dummy call. That's all it is.
Well,
everyone's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, watch the tape from like 2010. He was saying it then too.
I'll use Omaha with you then every day. If it's a dummy call, I'm the dummy. Or you use Omaha. Just tell me Omaha when I screw up on this show.
That is one of the beauties of the NFL, though, that they have the mics and you can hear the quarterbacks. It's kind of cool. I like that.
No. It's fine. But I don't go over the top. I don't lose sleep over it. The other game, I don't know. It's like the Marshawn Lynch Express. If you slow him down, I think San Francisco wins. I have a man crush on Anquan Boldin still. Anquan Boldin should have never left the Arizona Cardinals. Nobody's going to give me a good reason on that one. And I see him just killing everybody. Doesn't matter if it's with Baltimore or where he is now in San Francisco. And it drives me crazy when we let go of good talent in our state. Well, he wanted out. Well, maybe you could have done something a little different to keep him here. Sports360AZ.com, that is where all of our content is housed, of course, and we do it on a daily basis. On Twitter, at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, and White Mountain Radio, thanks for being with us.